An anonymous benefactor has sponsored the learning of Yerushalmi Sanhedrin Le'ilui Nishmas Perry Fish Pesach Gershon Ben Yisrael. Mr. Fish was a regional director of Long Island NCSY who unfortunately passed away a week before the beginning of our learning this Masechta, and the anonymous benefactor would like the entire Masechta learnt Le'ilui Nishmasai. We are beginning Yerushalmi Sanhedrin in the Ozva Hutter edition on Daf Aleph Amid Aleph. We should point out that in the Yerushalmi, each Mishnayos is called a halacha, and therefore we are beginning halacha aleph. We should also point out that in the Bavli, all of the Mishnayos of this perek are listed on Daf Beis Amid Aleph, and as you turn the Amid to Beis Amid Beis, whereas the Yerushalmi has the Mishnayos broken up as you would find in a regular Mishnayos that you would open up, you would see that the Perek has many Mishnayos. So the Bavli, for some reason, had all the Mishnayos listed as one humongous Mishnah, and the Yerushalmi keeps the Seder the way we have it in the regular Mishnayos. Much of Masechta Sanhedrin deals with the Oinshim, the punishments that Sanhedrin gives. Sanhedrin is another name for Bezdin, which the Sanhedrin meted out for various Averos, sometimes it was Skila, Srefa, Herig, Chenek, sometimes it was Malkus, sometimes it was Mammon, monetary compensation. Our Perek deals with the three different types of Sanhedrin, a Sanhedrin, a Bezdin of three, a Sanhedrin of 23, and a Sanhedrin of 71. The Sanhedrin Agadol, the Bezdin HaGadol that was in Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Lishkas HaGozes. And the Mishnayos in this Perek delineate for which judgments 3 are necessary, and for which 23 are necessary, and for which 71 are necessary. Begins the Mishnah, Halacha Aleph, Dinei Mamonis B'Shloisha. How many Dayanim do you need to adjudicate money matters? You need 3. Gizelis v'chavolois b'shloisha. If somebody stole from you or somebody damaged you, you also need 3 dayanim. Chavolois includes the 5 payments that we find in Masechta Bava Kama for damaging someone, and they are nezek, the actual damage that you caused that person, tsar, the pain that he went through, if you hit him, you slapped him, you hurt him, the pain that he went through, Ripui, any doctor bills or medications that he has to take. Sheves, any unemployment caused by you damaging him. And finally, Boishes, if through your damaging him it resulted in some type of embarrassment for the Nizek, for the one who was damaged, you have to pay for that as well. Now, both the Bavli and the Yerushalmi wonder why is a general rule necessary here. Gizelis v'chavolis are dine mominis. Why was it necessary to start out with a general umbrella of dine mominis v'shloisha, money matters are shloisha, and then go into specifics, for example, gizelis v'chavolis. Just say, dine gizelis v'chavolis are b'shloisha, and we know that those are money matters. And therefore, the Bavli and the Yerushalmi understand that Dine Mominis is coming to add a different type of Dine Mominis than Gzeilus v'Chavolis, as the Korban Eida and the Pnei Moshe bring down. The Hainu, the Pnei Moshe says, Hoido Esval Vois. Korban Eida, same thing, Hoido Esval Vois. Dine Mominis means when you lend somebody money and some Din Torah takes place because he says, I paid you off the loan, or he hoidoes, he admits, but perhaps he's only moida b'miktzas, he admits only a partial admission, and it comes in front of Bezdin. That is what the general rule of Dina Mominis includes. Now, although the Mishnah states that both hoidoes v'alvois, which equals Dine Mominis, is b'shloisha, as well as gzeilus v'chavolis are b'shloisha, there is a clear distinction between them, because dine mamnes bishloisha, as the carbonator brings down, bishloisha hegiotis. Plain people can adjudicate the hoidois valvois, even if they are not learned. However, gzeilis v'chavolois, as the next carbonator says, that's bishloisha, but not hegiotis, not plain people, but mumchim. Or another lashon for mumchim, which means expert, is smuchim. These are dayanim that had smicha ish mipi ish till Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu gave smicha to Yeshua, and he gave smicha to the zakenim, and it went from generation to the generation until this dayan also received this special kind of smicha, not like the smicha that we have today, which means that the person is a rov and he can paskin. Isser Veheter, this was a special smicha, which was ish mipi ish till Moshe Rabbeinu, one generation to the other, and it took place in Eretz Yisrael, and many halachas such as knossos were only adjudicated by the mumcha in Eretz Yisrael. So there is a distinction. Dinamam is bishloisha adyoitis, plain people, and gzeilus v'chavos, shloisha mumchim. And then the Korban Eida, which we will learn inside, mentions a term which the Pnei Moshe, who basically says the same pirush as the Korban Eida, he omits it. But we're going to learn the Korban Eida because he brings this phrase, which the Bavli is very busy with, and we need it to understand clearly the distinction. Why is Dinei Mamonos Hoidos Vavos with three Adyoitis sufficient? And Gzeilus V'Chavolos requires three Mumchen or three Smuchen. And the phrase is Iruv Parshias Ksuvim Kan. There is a mixture of Parshias. What does this phrase mean? Once we understand what the phrase means, we'll very easily be able to learn through the Korban Eida and understand what he is telling us. So let us first refer to a Gemara in Bava Kama on Daf Kuf Vav Amud Beis at the bottom, three lines from the bottom. The Amar Rab Chibar Abba Amar Rab Yochanan Hatayin Tainis Ganav BePikadon Einay Chayiv At SheYichbor BeMikzas VeYoyde BeMikzas. A person who tainis that this item was stolen, and this was a pikadon, this was a article or an animal that was given to him to watch. And let's say he's a shomer chinam, he's not getting paid for watching this, he's doing you a favor. So when is he chayiv a shvua? If he says it was stolen, and we worry, maybe it wasn't stolen, maybe he himself was shaleach yad, maybe he used it for himself. So he's chayiv a shvua, but he's only chayiv a shvua if he's moda b'mixas, atche yichbar b'mixas, partial denial, the yayde b'mixas, and partially he admits it. My timer, why? The amakra. Because in the Parsha of Shomrim, which is in Parshas Mishpatim, in Perek Chav Beis, Pasuk Vav, there it states, in that Parsha, the Yom Rekra, Ki Hu Zeh. Now let us quickly learn through the Parsha that he's referring to. This is the Parsha of Shomrim. So Perek Chav Beis, Pasuk Vav begins, Ki Yitein Ish Al Re'eu Kesev Ekelim, a person gives to his friend money or vessels, Lishmor to watch them. The gun of Mibes Ish was stolen from his house. And a Shomer Chinam is Potter for Gneva and Aveda, for a stolen item or a lost item. Im Yimotzei Aganav Yisham Shnayim. If it's true, it was really stolen, and we find the Ganav, then the Ganav has to pay, Kefil, he has to pay double. But what happens in Lo Yimotzei Aganav? The Ganav was not found. The Nikrav Bal Habayis El Ha'elohim. So then the owner of the item that was allegedly stolen, that's what the Shoimer claims. So the Balbayis gets close. He comes close, El Elohim, referring to Bezdin. Im Lo Yishalach Yadim Lechas Re'eyu, he has to swear that he was not Shaleich Yad, that he didn't take it for himself, but it was stolen. That's what the Gemara here in Bava Kama, Kuf Vav Amud Beis, means when it says, Hatoyin Tainas Ganav B'Pekotin. He was given a Pekotin. He says it was stolen. We're unable to find the Ganav. So we make him swear that he didn't take it for himself. Al Kol Devar Pesha, the Pasuk continues, Pasuk Ches, Al Shor, Al Chamor, Al Se, Al Sama, Al Kol Aveda, on an ox, a donkey, a sheep, a garment, any kind of object, a sheyomer ki hu zeh, That's the pasuk that the Gemara here, Bava Kama Kuvav and Beis, is referring to, where he will say, it is this. And the Chazal understand that this is the language of Moed Debemixis. It's Zeh, but not Zeh. It's this, but not that. In other words, I'm only partially admitting. Adu Elohim Yavid Varshneim. So the two litigants have to come in front of Sanhedrin, front of Bezdin, Asher Yashin Elohim, the one that the Sanhedrin finds is guilty, Yishalom Shnayim L'Reyu, he should pay double to his friend. In other words, if we find out that the Shomer lied, he swore falsely, and he had said it was stolen, it really wasn't stolen, then he had taken it for himself. So then Edom come and tell us that he really took it for himself. Then Yishalom Shnayim L'Reyu, he has to pay kefil to the owner of the animal or the owner of the object. So Rab Chiya Bar Abba, the name of Rabbi Yochanan, says that when is he chayiv to make this shvua? That's only if he's a Moed B'Mixas, because the pasuk says ki huzeh, and ki huzeh means Moed B'Mixas. And where is Moed B'Mixas written? In the Parsha of Shomrim. So the Parsha of Shomrim involves Moed B'Mixas. This is the shita of Rav Chiya Bar Abba, the name of Rabbi Yochanan. One of the Purushim here in Moed B'Mixas would be that there were three animals. One animal, he admits, yes, I owe it to you. The other animal, he says, you never gave it to me. You only gave me two, so he's kaifer. And on the third animal, he says, that one was stolen. And he has to swear because he's being a Moed B'Mixas. The owner says, I gave you three animals. He admits only two animals. And on one of the two, he says, I owe you. But on the other one, he says, I don't owe it to you because it was stolen. So since it involves here a case of Moed B'Mixas, then he has to swear. And if he was found to swear false, and we can prove that he himself took it, so then he has to pay kefil. That's what the pasuk says here in Parshas Mishpatim. Upliga continues the Gemara Bava Kama. The Rab Chiya Bar Rabbi Yosef, he argues, Rab Chiya Bar Abba argues on Rab Chiya Bar Yosef, Dama Rab Chiya Bar Yosef, Erev Parshis Kosov Khan. These are the opening words in Bava Kama, Daf Kuv Zayin Amid Aleph. There is a mixture of Parshis here. The Chi Ksiv Ki Huzeh Amilve Hu Dichsiv. And when the Pasuk here by Shomrim says the words Ki Huzeh in Perichov Beis Pasuk Ches, it's really not going on Shomer Chinam. Because on Shomer Chinam you have to swear, even if you're a kaifer akoil, even if you say you deny that he gave you any animals. Amilve, where does it say ki huzeh? That's on further in Perikov Beis, Pasuk Chaf Dalid. And that is the parsha of a loan, not a pikadon. Im kesef talves amies on imach. When you will lend money to my people, Hashem is speaking to the army who is with you, you lend him money. That's the parsha of Halvah. That's when you need Moed B'Mixas. By Pekodin, it's enough to Mechayv Shua Kaifra Koil, total denial. When do you need the concept of Moed B'Mixas to make a Shua? That's only by the parsha in Pasuk Chav Dalid, which is 16 psukim later after Shomrim. That's where you need Ki Huzeh. So the Gemara wants to know in Bava Kama, Umayshna Milva, why does Milva need the Moed B'Mixas and not Pekod? Kid Rabba, like Rabba says, famous Gemara, we find it a few times in Shas, the Amr Rabba, the Ma Amr Torah, Moed B'Mixas, Atan Yishava. Why did the Torah say someone who admits partial, either I only lent $50 from you and not $100, or I already paid back $50, I only owe you now $50? Why in that case of Moed B'Mixas are you chayv a shvua? Chazaka ain't automatic pump of Nebuchadnezzar. We have a rule that a person will never say to the malve, the one who lent them the money, you never lent me any money. Such a chutzpah, such an ingrate who will deny that he ever got a loan from the malve, it can't be. And if he says kaifra koil, he says, you never lent me, then we believe him because he would not have the chutzpah to deny a loan. So really, he should have denied the whole thing if it was true that he didn't lend.
And why didn't he deny it? Because it's not true. He did lend him. So how could he say to him, you didn't lend me anything? So now the other way, really, he should have admitted everything. He should have said, I lent 100 and I owe you 100. So why did he say, I already paid you back 50? Or he says, I only lent from you 50. Why is he motive b'mikzah, suffer? If I admit everything, you'll say, okay, pay me the whole 100. And I don't have the whole 100. Let me push him off until I have some money. Uparana, and then I'll pay it. So I'll give him 50 now, and then he'll give me some time, and then I'll say, oh yeah, I remember, I owe you the other 50. Here's the other 50. And meanwhile, I have time to get the other 50 together. So hilkach, Rama Rachman Shua Loy, the Torah made a Shua. Kehechi Deloy Lebekul, in order to push him to admit to the whole thing. He doesn't want to swear false. So this is what we figure is going through his mind. If it was really true that there was no loan, he would have said, I didn't loan anything from you. I didn't borrow anything from you. Why doesn't he say that? Because now, if he really did borrow, he wouldn't have the audacity to look in his malva's eyes and lie in his face and say, I never borrowed anything from you. So he can't get away with that. Even though he doesn't have any money now, he only can scrape together half, but he's not going to lie on the whole thing. Why doesn't he admit he owes the whole 100? Because he's playing for time. He said, I can't tell him in his face he didn't lend me anything, so I'll say, oh yeah, you lent me 50. So I'll be a mitzvah b'miktzas, and that gives me time to collect the other 50 together. So the Torah already suspects that maybe I'm not saying the truth, and that's why I only admit 50, but really I owe him a whole 100, and in order to get me to admit to the whole 100, the Torah says, you're going to have to go through a frightening shvua, holding a sefer Torah, etc. It's a very frightening experience to say that I only owe 50. I won't want to go through that experience, and then it'll force me to pay the whole 100. That's the idea of might have been mixed as by a halvah. But by halvah, if a person in fact would be kai for our coil, we believe him because of the chazaka that if he borrowed, he would never say to his face, I never borrowed anything from you. But that only applies to halvah. Where you did not do me a favor. Opposite. I'm doing you a favor. I'm watching it. So then, then I'll say to your face, you never gave me anything to watch. Because I would have chutzpah to say in your face, you never gave me anything, because you weren't doing me a favor. I was watching it for you. So therefore, the Torah says, you have to swear, even if it's kai for a koil. So when you learn these two parshas, the parsha of Pekodin and the parsha of Halvah, and it says it in the parsha of Pekodin that it has to be ki uzeh, so we understand very easily the one who says there's no ear of parshas. What do you mean ear of parshas? Why should I say that we jump 16 psukim further and the ki uzeh is not going on Pekodin, it's going on Halvah and Kesef Talvis Ami? It says it right here. It's a very strange concept to say that it doesn't mean Pekodin, it means Halvah. What about the Mandi Amar who says we do say Ear of Parshias? The reason is we say Ear of Parshias because we have a question. There's a question, it doesn't make sense that it should be by Pekodin. As the Gemara has just explained, that since by Pekodin I can look you straight in the eye, you didn't do me any favor, I was doing you a favor by watching it for you, so therefore I can tell you in your face you did not give me anything to watch. So therefore, since we're choshesh, you're lying even when you say kol for a kol, therefore, you have to swear even by kol for a kol. But the Torah said ki uzeh. Therefore, because of this question, the Mandi Omar, Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, says you're forced to say that it goes on the next parsha where it makes sense that there's a concept of ki uzeh. What parsha is that? That's the parsha of might have been mixes by Halvah, as we explained, because by Halvah, we're choshesh, he's lying when he only admits a half. But by Halvah, if he says to his face, you didn't lend anything to me, we believe him. There's no shua. It makes sense because we have a chazak, he's not meis ponim. It must be true what he's saying. So therefore, that man the armor says, ear of parshias, we take it from one parsha, 16 psukim earlier by Pekodin, and we transpose it to the parsha of Halvah. So explains the Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Kuf Zayin. Tosfos, a very long Tosfos there in Bava Kamma, at least in the beginning of that Tosfos, says the following words that we find in Sanhedrin. He says, we'll soon refer to this Gemara on Daf Beis Amud Beis, in the Bavli, Mashma, Dafil Lamandi Amar, Ir Parshas Ksiv Khan, Loya Krin Le Lagamri Mipakadin, Leinian Shloisha Mumchin. What is Tosfos referring to? When we learned the Parsha of Pikadon, we didn't point out that three times in that Parsha the word Elohim is mentioned. Here we could say Elohim with a hey, not Elohim, because it doesn't refer to Hashem. It refers to Bezdin. Bezdin is also referred to as Elohim. If we look in that Parsha of Pikadon, it said three times the word Elohim. One is V'nikra of Balabais Elo Elohim Im L'Shalach Yad Melechus Reyu. He has to swear that he was not Shaleich Yad, that he didn't keep it for himself. And then it says on all the items Shor, Chamor, Ses, Salma, Kolaveda, the second time, come to Bezdin. Both people, both litigants, are Sher Yashi and Elohim. If the Shomer is found to be a liar and he did take it for himself, then the Bezdin will say, you're the Russia, you're the guilty party, and Yisham Shnayim L'Reyu, you should pay double to the one, the Mafkid, who gave you these items to watch. So there are three times the word Elohim. As we're going to see in the Korban Eidah, the word Elohim is Mashma Lashon Sarara Mumcha. This term Elohim, where we compare a Bezdin to Hashem, and we use the word Elohim, we don't say that by a Bezdin of Adyoitis. That's a Bezdin of Mumchim, or as we refer to them the other name, of Smuchim. This is a Chash of a Bezdin, an important Bezdin. The word Elohim is Mashma Sarara, importance, rulership, and of being a Mumcha. So Tosfos here in Bava Kamma says that even if I hold Erev Parshias and I take the Kiyuzeh and I transfer that pasuk into the Parsha of Imkesef Talves Ami, lo yakrin le legamri mebekadon. But yet we don't say it's taken totally away from Bekadon, le'inyan shloisha mumcha. So we learn two halachas from the Parsha of Bekadon. It says it three times, so you know you need three people. One dayan is not enough, you'll need three. And Elohim is Mumchen, Smuchen. So we learn two halachas. And both of those halachas not only apply by Milveh, if you hold Erev Parshias, but it still applies in the Parsha of Pikadon. So what Tosfos is trying to understand is, how could it be you hold Erev Parshias that you transfer, you transpose the concept of Kiyuzeh from Pikadon to Milveh, and yet you're saying that three Mumchen remain by the Parsha of Pikadon? Tosfos says we can answer that. The Lanyan might have been mixes, they could time off. We had a reason. Might have been mixes didn't make sense by Pikadon, because even Kaifra Koil, where he's mayiz by Pikadon, requires a shvua. So there I say I have to totally transpose. I have to transfer the parsha of Kiyuzev, might have been mixes, from Pikadon to Milva. But there are krinin lemi pikadon legami avo leinyan shloisha mumchen deleka taima koya tarvayo. If I don't have a reason to transfer it from pikadon to milva, then I say it's by pikadon it remains, and we'll also have an ear of parshas that it applies to milva. This is how Tosfos understands. So both by pikadon and by oidos val voice, there will be the inyan of shloisha mumchen. Now that right away leads us to a question. We explained in the Mishnah Dina Mominus B'Shloisha, which refers to Eidos V'Avois, and it's only Shloisha Hedyaitis, we said. But according to what we just explained, it should really be Shloisha Mumchen. Let us now learn the Korban Eidah, and everything will fall into place. Begins the Korban Eidah. Dina Mominus, Eidos V'Avois, B'Shloisha Hedyaitis. Af the Gimel Pa'amim, Elo. Here he writes the word Elikim, even though we said you don't have to, because he's referring to Bezdin. After Gimel Pam Elikim, the Siv B'Shoimrim, that which is written in the Parsha of Pekodin three times Elohim, Havi Ki Ilu Ksuvim Gam came to Parshim Kesav Talva, the Ear of Parshis Ksuvim Khan. We said that there's Ear of Parshis. So therefore, the three times Elohim that's written by Pekodin also refers to the Parsha of Im Kesav Talva. So how could I say it's three hegioites? It should be three mumchen. Filahachi loy itzrichu chachamim shloisha mumchem. The chachamim did not require shloisha mumchem. Midaraisa there is shloisha mumchem by halvois, by dois halvois, but not midarabbanan. Why? If you're going to require three mumchen, people will stop giving out loans. Perhaps the loiva will deny the loan, and the malva will want to take him to Bezdin, and he has to round up mumchen, and it's very hard for him to find mumchen, smuchim, ishmi, pishmi, maisha, rabbeinu. There were not so many of them. So he won't be able to find mumchen. He said, the heck with it. What do I need this for? I'm not going to lend money. In order to make it easy for people to lend money, the Rabbanan said, we're taking away the requirement that you need mumchen, and even three hedyoites will be able to adjudicate this case. Therefore, the malva knows that if he has problems with the loiva, and he wants to take him to Bezin, he just rounds up three people, and any three people, even if they're unlearned, they're hedyoites, they don't have smich ishmi piyesh, they will be able to paskin this din, adjudicate this case, and that's why the Rabbanan did it. Midaraisa, you would need it. The Rabbanan didn't require it, because then people would stop giving out loans. So, Be'emes, the Bavli in Sanhedrin, on Daf Beis Amid Beis, asked the following question concerning Eruv Parshias. What does the Tanna of our Mishnah hold? Ikasavar Eruv Parshias Ksiv Kan Laboy Nami Mumchen. So the Bavli asks, why is three adjoitis enough? If you hold Eruv Parshias by or does by voice, then you should need Mumchen, as you have by Pekodin. The Ikasavar Ain Eruv Parshias Ksiv Kan. If you also like the other man, the Yomer Bava Kama Kuvav Amid Beis, then you don't need Eruv Parshias, then Shloi Shalomli. What do you need? Three? Then even one should be enough. Answers the Bavli, loyalam savir parshas you've got. Really, all severe parshas. And that's why bedin hud leboy nami mumchen. You would need three. Why do you need three? Because three alihim refers not only to pekodin, it refers to hoidos vavos as well, tim kesef talv as well. So really, you should need not only three, but you should need three mumchen. V'agel bein a mumchen misham de rabbi chanina dam rabbi chanina dvar tara echad din imamnis vechad din fars but rishu b'chakira shenemar mishpat echad yilchem umatam rabbi din imamnis lebinin rishu b'chakira. As we're on daf gimel amid alf down Sanhedrin Bavli, why don't you need rishu b'chakira? Because of the concept that you don't want to close the door in front of the people who need to borrow money. There the Gemara is speaking about whether you need all the questions of Derisha v'Chakira, the seven questions of time and place of when this event took place, the loan that we will ask the Edim, and also the periphery questions of where it took place and what people may have been wearing, or just to show that that the Edom really know what happened. So the Gemara says that they dispensed with Rish V'Hakira these special questions when it came to Haidos V'Avoyz, because again, if it's very hard to get through, and even if the Edom were there, one person will make a mistake in a detail, and then they're disqualified to be Edom, even though they really saw the loan that took place. So if a person who lends money has to worry about the Edom being interrogated with a series of various questions which they might make a legitimate mistake in, he'll refuse to lend money. So the same idea. Because of that, they took away Drish V'Hakira, and therefore also, the Bavli says they took away the requirement of three. Mumchen, you need three, because Elohim, Eruv Parshias, is not only Pekodin, it's also by Halva, but you don't need three Mumchen, or else you close the gate, the door, in front of the people who want to lend money. So that's what our Mishnah holds, Eruv Parshias, but Shleitin al-Dalsim, they love it. The next Korban Edom, Gzeil Shavavos v'Shleisha, Mumchem. Here you need Mumchem, because there is no Halvah here. There's no reason to say that you shouldn't need Mumchem, so there the Din Torah remains. You need three Mumchem by Gzeil Shavavos. The Shleisha, Pa'amim, Elohim, Kosev v'Parsha, Shoymrim, Sheheng Gzeilois, Shezeh Toyen, Sheshol Yad B'Kodin, B'Pikdoine. In other words, it wasn't stolen, you stole it. You took my B'Kodin. You're using it for yourself. So that's the Gzeila is in the Parsha of Shoymrim. There could be an outside gazlan, or the shimer is the gazlan. As we explained before, Elohim seems to mean that it is an exalted position of governing, of being an expert. It's a chosh of a thing that you're referred to as lehim, and that refers to mumchim and not to hedyotis.
The girsa of the Pnei Moshe here in the Mishnah is gzeilois v'choivois. If I owe you money, chayvois, but he says zehu chavolis. That's the same as what we have, chavolis. The Pnei Moshe later in his Pirush on the Gemara brings down a concept that zeilos v'chavolis are linked together because mali chavol beguf and mali chavol b'moinei. What's the difference if I diminish you, your guf, and I have to pay, or I diminish your assets, your property that I stole from you? In both, they're linked together, you have to make a payment. Continues the Mishnah. Nezek, which the Korban Eid explains means one person damaging another person, or a shor amud, a shor that has gored three times and damaged him. So in both of these cases, one has to pay nezek shalom. He has to pay for full damages. The chatzi nezek, or if a tam, as the Korban Eid explains, a short tam that did not gore three times, let's say it's the first time he ever gored, he only has to pay chatzi nezek, half of the damages. Tashlume kefel, a ganef who steals, and he is apprehended, he has to pay double. And tashlume arba v'chamisha, if after he stole, he sold it or he slaughtered it, so then for a sheep he pays four times, and for a cow he pays five times. Now the question is, all of these, we're going to learn that all of these require three dayanim, but the Korban Eid brings down that aren't Nezek and Chatzin Nezek included in Chavolis that we learned before in the Mishnah, that B'Shloisha, and he responds that let's start from the end of this series. Teshluvi, Arav Chamisha, are payments that are more than the damage, because he's paying four or five times what the animal is worth. And because he learned more, he also learned less, Teshluvi Kefal. And included in more is Tashlume Kefal. And since he learned more, he also learned less. That is Chatzi Nezek. And since he learned Chatzi Nezek, he already mentioned Nezek, which is Nezek Shalom. So even though Chatzi Nezek and Nezek are included in Chavolis, but because he is including payments of more than the actual value, he included payments of less than the value, Chatzi Nezek. And because he included Chatzi Nezek, he included Nezek, although they really are part of Chavolis. So, Nezek, V'chatzi Nezek, Tashlumei Kefal, Tashlumei Arba Chamisha, and the next three as well, which are Ho'ainis, someone who rapes a Naira. The din is that he has to give 50 silver shkalim to the father. And if the victim wants, then the one who was Ma'anis her has to marry her, and he can never divorce her their entire life. And Mefata, the next case in the Mishnah is Mefata. Mefata is he seduces this Naira. Again, the perpetrator has to pay 50 silver shkolim, but here he's not forced to marry the girl, since she did it willingly after he seduced her. And the final one in this set is Umaitzi Shemra, someone who let out a false innuendo. And this is speaking about a husband who, after he lived with his new wife, he claims that Lemotsosi Lebit Chapsulim, he says to the father, she is not a virgin. And he brings Adam. And the Adam say that as a Naira, Muhammurasa, during the year of engagement, in those days there was a year between the engagement and the actual chuppah, your daughter lived with someone else, a Naira Murasa's Chayv Skila. So, this halach of Moitzi Shemra has a monetary part to it, because if the husband was found to have maliciously been Moitzi Shemra, the Edom were found to be Edom Zoymimim, which means that other Edom said, you could not be Edom on this alleged Naira Marasa living with someone else, because you were with us in a different location and it was impossible that you ever saw such a thing, which you claim. So they are Edom Zoymen. So the Edom Zoymen get Chiv Misa of Skila, which they wanted to do to the Naira Marasa. The husband who hired these Edom Zoymen, the Torah said he has to get Malkus and he has to pay 100 silver shkolim to the father. And in addition, as long as his wife wants to remain his wife, he may never divorce her.
It is not clear exactly if we are speaking about the dinei mamon, the 100 silver shkolim that the husband has to pay to the father, or perhaps we're speaking about a case where the husband claimed that his wife didn't have besulim, she was not a virgin, that she had lived with someone else, but he didn't produce any edim, and in certain circumstances that would be enough for her to lose her ksuba. So it's not clear what case the Mishnah is speaking about. Another wrinkle in this case is the machlokes that we have here between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. The Chacham said that for all these cases that we mentioned, from Nezek and Chotzi Nezek until Moitzi Shemra, all these cases, it's enough with, Rabbi Meir said that it's enough with three. However, Chachamim Maimrim, the Chachamim say, HaMoitzi Shemra Be'esrim Shloisha. No, Moitzi Shemra requires a Bezdin of 23, which is always what you need for Dinei Nefashos when you want to kill someone. When Bezdin is going to say someone is Chayav Misa, you need a Bezdin of 23. Why, in this case, do you need 23? Sheyesh by Dinei Nefashos, even if it starts out as a monetary case, as we said, either with the woman losing her ksuba or the husband having to pay the shkolim, but it could turn into a case of taking someone's life, and therefore the Chachamim say you need a bezin of 23. Exactly in what case the machlokes or Meir and Chachamim takes place, that we will have to wait for the Gemara. The Bavli also gives various scenarios of what the machlokes Meir and the Chachamim is. Begins the Gemara according to Mishnah. Dinei mamonos b'shloisha. Dinei mamonos needs three dayanin. Ask the Gemara, minon teisalei, from where do I know this? The Pnei Moshe learns, from where do I know that you need three? Maybe one is enough. We are going to go with the pshat of the Korban Oed, who learns the other way. Minon teisalei, that three is enough. Maybe you need 23. If you're going to explain that you need more than one, you need many dayanim from the following pasuk. This is how the Korban Oed learns this next Gemara. V'ha'yu eila lechem l'chukas mishpat. This pasuk is speaking about both dinei mamonos and dinei nefashos, and they are both referred to as chukas mishpat. So from that pasuk, you see that dinei mamonos is like dinei nefashos, that one is not enough, you need more than one. But maybe you in fact need what dinei nefashos needs across the board, 23. And we have the words b'drisha b'chakira. However, the gears of the Korban Oed is be'esrim v'shloisha u'minayin l'dinei mamonos shein b'shloisha. This is the kasha according to the Korban Oed. If you're going to use the pasuk v'ha'yu eil lechem l'chukas mishpat, that you need many dayanim and one's not enough, then go all the way and say that dinei mamonos should be like dinei nefashos with esrim v'shloisha. How do I know that dinei mamonos only needs shloisha? This is how the Korban Oed learns the pshat here in the Gemara, although there are other pshatim in the Gemara. So the Gemara now will give us three different explanations of how do we know that you need three and not 23. There will be a pshat from Rabbi Yoshia, Rabbi Yoinison, and Rebbe. Begins the Gemara, V'nik Rav Balabayis Elo Elohim. In the Parsha of Shomrim, as we've mentioned before, there are three times the word Elohim mentioned. So the first pasuk says, V'nik Rav Balabayis Elohim, that the Balabayis should come close to Bezdin, Reba Bo Dayan Echot. So we already have one Dayan. Ad Elohim Yavid Varshneim, that the two litigants should come in front of Bezdin, again Elohim Harishneim. Now we have two. Hasher Yashin Elohim, whoever the Bezdin says is the Rasha, is the Gazlin, if the Shomer is the Gazlan, he pays kefil to the Bailim. Harei kan shloisha, a third repetition of the word Elohim. Divrei Rabbi Yoshia, this is the simple pshat that we have a number three because Elohim is mentioned three times in the Parsha. Rabbi Yoinison Amar, he says no. Harishin tchilo nemar. The first one is written not for a number, it's written for the concept that you have to go to Bezin. As the Korban Oed explains, v'loy levet dina l'nafshi, a person should not say, I will be my own judge. No, you have to go to a Bezdin to get this adjudicated. So Ein Dorshin Tchilas, since it's needed for itself, for the concept of going to Bezdin, therefore we don't use that for a drasha of a number. That's not counted. Elo Ad Elohim Ariechot. The second time Elohim is mentioned, that's the first judge. Asher Yashin Elohim, the third time Elohim is mentioned, is the second judge, Harei Shnayim. And now we have a new concept of Ein Bezdin Shakol Maisuf Aleihem Oed Echad Harei Shlosha. You can never have an even numbered Bezdin because you always have to be able to come to a decision with having at least 2-1. If you're going to have two and they split, it'll be a split bezdin. So therefore, if you learned that there are two, then automatically it means there has to be three so that you don't have an even bezdin. Now comes Rabbi's pshat. Rabbi Yoimer, b'shnayim akasim medaber. The Torah itself, if we're medayik in the words of the psukim, are speaking about two.
Ato Yoimer b'shnayim ayena ela be'echad. You say that the pasuk is speaking about two. Perhaps it's only speaking about one.
Kishu Oimer Asher Yashin Elihim. When the Torah said the last Asher Yashin Elihim, Engsiv Khan, it does not say Yarshi Un. It doesn't say singular. Ella Asher Yarshi Un Elohim. It says plural, that the Elohim, which is a number of Dayanim, plural Dayanim, and the least of plural is two. And then we have the klal of Ein Bezdin Shakul, Mosif Malem Oed Echad Reish Laisha, you add one more and you have three. So either it says it three times, or Ein Dorshin Tchilas says it two times, and Ein Bezdin Shakul is three, or it says it one time, Asher Yashi Un Elihim, which means a plural of at least two, Ein Bezdin Shakul means three. These are the three answers of what we see by Dine Mominis, that you don't need 23, you see from the Pesukim that you only need three. Continues the Gemara, Rav Avuha boy. Rav Avuha had a question on what we just said about Rebbe. Uka Rebbe, according to Rebbe, that he learns Yarshi Un is plural. It should come out, Dini Mominis B'chamisha, you should need five Dayanim to begin a Dini Mominis case. The Sheyigmor, and it should be concluded, we have the Girsa B'chav Gimel, but if you look into Pnei Moshe, in Divrei HaMasvel Uka Rebbe, which is approximately six lines from the medium wide lines in the left side column, Pnei Moshe, Karebi, Viladivri, Rebbe, Imkane, Boy, Dini, Mosh, Hamisha, Kadeshi, Rebezin, Shel, Shloisha, Shanachi, Rebechav, Gimel, that's a mistake, it should be three. Now, how does it work out that it should start with five and end off with three? So let's look in the Korban Eid, the Divri Amasel, Rabav Vuha, and this is at the end of the short lines, three lines before it becomes wide. Divri Amasel, Rav Vuha Park, Rav Vuha asks the question, Le Rebbe, so there's obviously a Tos Sofer here, a mistake in the Korban Eida, and it should be the opposite. But again, we see that he's using Shloisha and not Chaf Gimel. Now, what's the reason for this question? Even if Rebbe would hold like Rebbe Yonason, Dain Dorshin Chilas, we cannot use the first of the three Elohims, which is Vinikra of Balabais Elohim, because that you need for itself, that a person doesn't make his own judgment, he has to go to a Bezdin. Mikol Mokum, the second one, Adu Elohim, that one is Miyutra, is extra, because it says if Elohim always means more than one, as we see from the word Yarshi Un, so it said Elohim before, and Elohim before also means like the last Elohim of our Sher Yarshi Un Elohim, that it means at least two. That one is extra, and it means also two, so then you already have four, and you have five. So Ravu is asking that apparently Rebbe understood that Shloisha means you have to end off with at least three, so it'll be three against two that are Mechayiv or Mezakeh. And if so, Rabavu's question really is, why didn't Rebbe explain that I know there's a Mesorah that a Bezdin needs three, which I understand means at the end it should be at least 3-2, but what do you start off with? You start off with five. He should have explained that. Because otherwise, how does Rebbe learn the Psukim? If Yarshiun shows us we're speaking about Elohim of two, there's another Elohim which means two is four, and Ein Bezdin Shakul is five. So the Gemara answers, Ein Hanami, that according to Rebbe, we find that there is such a concept that we start with five. Ashkech Tani Reb Chizkia, we find in a Braisa that Reb Chizkia taught the following. Since we have a concept that you need Achrei Rab Mlahatois, and we're going to learn that in order to paskin that someone is guilty of Misa, you need Matim, you need a plural of a majority of not just one dayan, but you needed two dayanim at least to say that he's guilty.
So just like the Torah said, you kill based on a majority of a plural majority. And you also find Harag al-Pi Edim, that you need two Edim to find somebody guilty of a capital offense. Ma Edim Shnayim, just like by Edim, there's two Edim, Af Matim Shnayim. So the Matim also has to be Shnayim. So that we learned is a din, because we're going to learn further that you come to 20, from the word Edo is 10, it says it twice Edo, so it's 20, and then you need Matim to kill the person, you need at least a majority of another two, that's 22. Then you have Ein Bezdin Shokel, and then you add one for 23. And if we find that by Dinim Nefashos, we will apply that to Dinim Mamonos as well. How are you going to have a majority of two by Dinim Mamonos? If you're speaking about three, now 2 to 1 is not a majority of two. It must be you're going to need four. So four, you have 3 to 1, you have in that at least a majority of two. But if you're going to say four, then you need Ein Bezdin Shokel, you have five. So Ein Echanami, we find that there is a concept of five, and then you will wind up with 3 to 2. The only question that I have, if we're learning that the Matim is part of making up the four, which ultimately, because of Bezdin Shokel, is five, and you have to have at least Matim of two, well, how do you wind up with three, meaning that you're going to have 3 to 2? That's what winding up with three means. You start with five. Two say he's, let's say, innocent, and three say he's guilty. So then the case is adjudicated with a majority of 3 to 2. But didn't we say you need matim of two? So how could we do it with a majority of 3 to 2? I'm not sure of an answer on this question. If anyone has an answer, please email me at Grossman, Grossman, at OU.org. Continues the Gemara on the last line of the Amid, Loi Hein Gzeles Hein Chavolis, as the Pnei Moshe explains in the second and last wide line, Otu B'chlal Dinim Mominis Loi Hein Gzeles Hein Chavolis, Pnei Ma Cholka Natana Lishnais B'tarkti. The way the Pnei Moshe explains it, different than others, is that the Gemara is asking the question that we raised in the Mishnah, why is there a general rule of Dinim Mamonos B'Shloisha, and then the specific examples of Gzeilus V'Chavolis? Aren't both Gzeilus V'Chavolis included in Dinim Mamonos? If so, why did the Tan of the Mishnah separate them into two categories? This is the question of the Yerushalmi according to the Pnei Moshe. The Mishnah should have just said, Dini Gzeilus V'Chavolis B'Shloisha. Why make a general rule of Dinei Mamonos? What is that specifically teaching us? So we already gave an answer of the Korban Eid and the Pnei Moshe of Mamonos means Hoidois Valvois. However, the Yerushalmi now will give a different answer. Let us turn the Amud to Aleph Amud Beis. Ashkach Tani Reb Shimon Ben Yochai. In order to answer your question, let us bring a brisa and we will see what Reb Shimon Ben Yochai said. The words of Reb Shimon ben Yochai are Ve'ela ha-mishpatim asher tasim lufneim. He quoted a pasuk, and that's all he said in the brisa. And of course, the question is, what is Reb Shimon ben Yochai trying to do with this pasuk? He doesn't explain any addition to the pasuk, so we have to say, says the Gemara, Asa meimer lach kipshuta dekroi. He's trying to tell you that there is a din Torah of Sanhedrin, which is equivalent with the simple words of the pasuk. In other words, bring the din Torah lifneiem, bring it to the dayanim. There's a type of din Torah, as we'll soon see, that Rabbi Yossi bar Chalafta practiced, that did not go exactly according to the din of the Torah. It didn't go against. It was not an open halacha that Chas v'Shalom Rabbi Yossi would go against. But Rabbi Yossi said, in order to adjudicate, there is a type of din Torah where the dayan tells the litigants that I am not a bucky in the entire Torah, but I want to judge this based on the simple knowledge of the psukim. I may not know every chazal that there exists on these psukim, but I'm going to go with the simple pshat in the halacha, and I'm going to add my own reasoning. In other words, ein l'dayan elamash ein avrois. I'm going to use my own seichel besides my knowledge in the simple halachas that are negated to this case. And that is also a type of din Torah. Also, Meimlucha Kepash Pshuta Dekro. Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai is trying to teach us that the Asher Tosim Lefneim, the simple words of this pasuk, that you have to give it to the Dayanim that you have in front of you, and they should, using their seichel, based on the simple pshat in the halachas, the way the Purban explains this Gemara, they ashatasim lefneihem in front of the dayanim, the input of the dayanim. That's also a type of a din Torah. V'sayek Rabbi Yosi bar Chalafta. Why? Because Rabbi Yosi bar Chalafta also trained Barnash Midin Kumoi. Two litigants came that he should adjudicate the case. They came in front of him. Amrilei, they said to him, Amenashe Tiri Nunu Din Torah. We don't want pshara, compromise. We want the letter of the law. We don't want to split 50-50. If the money is mine, give it 100% to me. If the money is the other fellow's, give it 100% to him. Amar loin, so Rabbi Yosi bar Chalafta told the litigants, Ani ain't a dead in Torah. I am not so proficient. Even though the Gemara says, tzedek, tzedek, tirdoif. If you want to run after justice, you want to see a real truthful Bezdin, go after Rabbi Yosi Tzipori, Gemara in the Bavli and Sanhedrin. But he was being an honor here. He said, Ani ain't a dead in Torah. I might make a mistake. I don't know all the Chazal. Elo Hayudeya Machshavas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who knows what people are thinking. Yifram Oysan Anoshim. As the Korban Ha'edo explains, he should take retribution from those people referring to the Dayanim. And let us look at the Pnei Moshe, which is seven lines after the short lines begin. I might make a mistake. He learns that Anasha means here the judges. Those judges, they know what the Din Torah is and they go right against it. I'm not going to do that. Hashem should pay from retribution from those kind of judges. But I know the simple halachas. I'm going to add my own judgment, and that's how the Din Torah will come out. Hilkach, kiblu alechem ashan yarm alechem. Shema mino she'ein adayin tzorach lei dekol adinim. This is the way the Korban learns. There is a type of Din Torah where the dayin doesn't have to single halacha negate to the case. So back to the Gemara. Mekablu alechem adina arm alechem. Do you accept what I'm going to tell you, this method of a Din Torah? So that's one method. However, the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva had a different method. Rabbi Akiva went with the exact Din Torah. Rabbi Akiva was a generation earlier than Rabbi Yosi. In fact, Rabbi Yosi was one of Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim, who he gave smicha to. Rabbi Akiva, Karav Barnash, when a person came in front of him for a Din Torah, Ozel boy, Maiden Kumei, Hava Amale, he would say to that litigant, Have a yoidin, you should know, lifnei mi atem ayimdim, who you're standing in front of, lifnei mi shomer v'yoylem, Hashem, who created the world, shenembar, v'omdu shnei anashim, shalahem ariv, the two litigants who have this dispute, should stand lifnei Hashem. Now, we learned on Amud Aleph, this pasuk, lifnei Elohim, and there we interpreted that it refers to the dayanim. They're also called Elohim. However, here, Rabbi Akiva is using the same words of the Pasuk, and he's learning it's Elohim because it refers to Lifnei Hashem. V'loi Lifnei Akiva ben Yosef. You're not standing in front of me, you're standing in front of Hashem. I am going to tell you the exact Din Torah, and therefore make sure, as the Korban Ha'edo says, that you don't say anything Sheker in this Din Torah. So the Gemara here is teaching us there are two types of Din Torah that are sanctioned by the Torah. One is where a person knows the basic halachas, he doesn't know everything, and he adds his own judgment, and he may make a mistake according to the Din Torah. But the litigants have to accept upon themselves that they are accepting this Din Torah. That's the way Rabbi Yosi adjudicated cases, and Rabbi Akiva was the exact pristine halacha of the Torah that he felt comfortable in paskening. Both are methods of Din Torah. And therefore, that's what the Gemara, according to the Korban Ha'edosh, is answering. You asked me a question on Amud Aleph, why is Gzeilus Chavos separated from Dinei Mamonos? What do we need the whole general rule of Dinei Mamonos? The answer is, Dinei Mamonos is referring to cases where perhaps it's also a dos va voice, cases where the Torah doesn't say so specifically what the din is, as opposed to gzeilus u'chavolos, those are the ones where the Elohim Kim is mentioned, the three times Elohim. That's the case of Toyin Tain and Skadav B'Kodin, where he has to swear he's not Shalech Yad, where he himself might be the Gazlan. And then he has to pay the Kefil. So there, by those dinim, by Chavolis, for example, it says Ayin Tachas Ayin, Shen Tachas Shen, it says precisely what the dinim are. So there, on those things, Mali Chavol B'Gufoy, Mali Chavol B'Mamoynoy, on those dinim we can apply Elohim. Bezdin, the exact din, that's the type of din of Rabbi Kiva. And then it says, dinim amnis b'shloisha, there are other dinim that are not so specific in the Torah, detailed what the halachas are. There we have a din Torah of the type that Rabbi Yosef bar Chalafta adjudicated, where the basic dinim we know, and we add what the Dayan sees, and what his intuition is, and what he understands about what's going on. And that also is a type of din Torah, and that's what we're adding. Both require shloisha, since they are dine Torah. They're not a settlement out of Bezdin between the litigants that someone might arrange. But rather, they're both going to din Torah, and they're both accepting upon himself what the Dayanim paskin. There are two ways of paskining the shilas, and they both require a bezdin of three. This is how the Gemara answers the question of what the heading of dinim amnis adds to gzelois vechavolois, according to the pshat of the korban ha'eda. This is Gemara Tani. Abraisa taught Kaidim Labam Shana 40 years before the Churban of the second base of Migdash, actually Harva Bayez, Nitlu Din Nefashas. The Churban Eid says to Pshatim here, either it means that Gzera Hamalchus, the Malchus forced the Sanhedrin of 71 to leave the Lishka Gazes. And once there is no longer a Sanhedrin in the Lishka Gazes, the Sanhedrin of 23 cannot judge capital cases. And therefore, Din Nefash became bottle. Or the second shot of the Korban Eid is that the Sanhedrin itself was overwhelmed. There were so many murderers, there were so many cases that involved punishments of death that it was uncontrollable. Bezdin was not able to adjudicate every case according to the correct mishpat, and therefore they on their own decided, since we can't do the job properly, we will have to leave the Lishkas HaGazes, and as a result, all the Bati Dinim of 23 will not be able to paskin Dinim Nefashis. If we can't do it properly, we have to leave and not try at all. That was the decision of the Sanhedrin at that time. Ubimei Shimon ben Shetach, that's our Girsa. However, the Korban Eidah's Girsa is Ubimei Shimon ben Yochoi Nitlu Dinim Amnis. Then it was taken away the ability to paskin Dinim Amnis Api Din Torah, according to Rabbi Kiva's method of Suck, as we mentioned before. Rabbi Shimon Yochai said, "Brich Rechmana, blessed is Hashem, Delina Chacham Midayin. I am not a Chacham to judge Dina Mamnes Api Din Torah the way Rabbi Akiva did. Baruch Hashem, that I have the method of Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalafta, which we discussed before, which also is called the Din Torah. It's Ashatasim Lefneim. It involves the reasoning of the Dayan. Although in certain aspects it may not be 100% Din Torah according to Rabbi Akiva, but it is still considered an accepted method of adjudication of a Dine Mominis. So Baruch Hashem, that I can pass in that way, because the real Din Torah, Rabbi Akiva's method, I am unable to do. Continues the Gemara, Shmuel Omer, Shnaim Shadonu, Dineim Din. What happens if instead of three, there were less than three Dayanim? Is the din effective or it's not effective? According to Shmuel, if two paskin the din is a din. And really, the Mefarshim explain, even if one paskin the din, it is a din. Why does Shmuel say two? He's trying to tell you a chiddush the other way, that even when two paskin the din, they are still called a bezin chatzav, as Shmuel continues. Shnaim shadon dinam din, elo shenikru bezin chatzav, they are considered a presumptuous bezdin, a chutzpahdik bezdin, as the Korban Eid explained, she'ovru al takanas chacham, they went against the takanas of the chacham, that you need three, and they only had two, or one, and even two, are considered a bezdin chutzah. That's why Shmuel used two, but hu adin, one, it'll be a din, And of course, a one is considered a bezin chatzav as well. Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, they disagree. Tarheyan marin, which a carbonate explains, tarheyan means both. Amrin, they say, both Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish disagree. Afilu shnayim shadonu ein dinayim din. Even two, for sure one, it's not a din, but even two, their din is not a din. And the Gemara in the Bavli, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, concludes that this whole machlokes is only by Udois while voice. However, by Gzeilus v'Chavolis, even Shmuel agrees that you need three, and even B'dieved, Shnayim Shadon, will be Ein Dineim Din. The whole machlokes that we have in our sugi here is only by Udois while voice. There, Shmuel is Mekel, and perhaps it's the same reason that we had before, Shalai Tinel Dallas from Leilovin. There, so that's why Shmuel says that by Dos Vavois it's enough with two. Gzeilus Chavolis, even Shmuel agrees that B'dieved two is not good. You must have three. If you don't have three, Ein Dineim Din.